Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 235. And our guest today is Erica from Austin in Texas, with a dream for us to interpret. Now, as you know, if you've listened to this show for a long time, and as you might not know, if this is the first dream show you've ever listened to, the idea with the show is that we have a guest on the show, we line up everything, and it's not till the moment that we press the record button that I hear the dream. So I have absolutely no idea what dream anyone is going to bring. And we do this because we hear from all of you listening in that that's the way you love it. You like that experience of listening to the dream for the first time and hearing me listening to it for the first time as well. And then working on and appreciating and gaining insight into how to nibble away and explore a dream to find out what it means and how it relates to the person's life. And you'll hear all of that with Erica. We've just finished recording it. This is me putting on the beginning part of it. And the other main feature is that usually our guests are totally anonymous. And the reason for that is that we go in deep and meaningful with dreams, and we go into personal issues, and people may or may not actually want, you know, happy to contribute and go through the experience and be a volunteer guest on the Dream Show, but don't necessarily want to say exactly who they are. And occasionally, though, a guest, and Erica did this, will come up with a reason for wanting to say who she is. And as you'll hear when we talk to Erica, there's a very good reason why she does say who she is. And I'll leave you with that sense of mystery at the moment and let you enjoy that. But just before we go there, the websites are janeteresa.com. That's Jane Teresa without an H. And that's where you can go to listen to every podcast that's ever been, to read all the blogs, look at free resources, or to contact me about my services, or to find out about my online dream courses. Or if you're interested in the online dream courses, you can go straight to my online learning platform, the Dream Academy, which is dream-academy-online.com, where you can do all sorts of courses with me in your own time. They're video-led, downloading notes, charts, all sorts of things, but you go through at your own pace in your own time. But without further ado, let's go over to Erica. Welcome to the Dream Show, Erica.
Thank you.
And you're in Texas.
Yes, Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. How's the weather there? You must be going into fall now, are you?
Yeah, so usually it's about 100 degrees. We had a little bit of a cold front. I'm using air quotes here. It was 68 and it was pretty chilly for us. So typically we're used to 100 right now.
I love these connections with people all over the world. We're all in such completely different environments. I absolutely love it. Yes. Erica, as you know, I never know what dream a guest is going to bring. So it's over to you now with your dream.
Sure. So this dream I had about a week ago, and I wrote it down as soon as I woke up. But I was driving through my hometown in Massachusetts, and we were downtown, and we passed this church that there was a massive line of people, like almost lining up to go to a funeral or a wake. And in the line, I saw some people from my high school graduating class. I'm 31 right now, so many years back. And one of the people in that line was a fellow student who actually committed suicide a few years ago. So I encouraged my family that I was with. I said, can we please stop? I want to see, you know, who died, what's going on. And then I got in. The line was so long, so we missed the wake. But then after, it was almost like security guards were bringing us into this, like, concrete auditorium, and my dad was just complaining the whole time, and my sister was trying to sell her products, and I was yelling at her that it wasn't appropriate. And then we were just going the wrong way and kind of not assuming the line formations as we were told. But then we finally sat on these concrete benches, and I saw one of my good friends from back home in Massachusetts, and I wasn't clear if it was her husband that passed away or like a baby. She came over and hugged me, and I said, I'm so sorry for your loss. And his whole family was there, so I was assuming it was her husband. But then when we left, there were still a whole lot of people online, and the casket looked like the size of a baby, but we weren't able to see inside. And then when we left, we were walking home in the pouring rain, and we went a totally different direction, the opposite way from home. So then we had to go back and go through the amount of people again. And that's kind of where I woke up.
So you never did find out whether it was the baby or the husband or who was in the casket, but you assumed it was the baby?
So originally I assumed it was her husband, but I wasn't sure when I left because the casket looked smaller. So it wasn't clear who it was.
And when you went back through the people, did you have a, what was the kind of feeling you had at the end of the dream? Did you feel that there was any completion or incompletion, or what did you feel at the end of the dream?
I felt almost disappointed that my sister was trying to sell skincare products to an auditorium at a funeral, which obviously would never happen. But I felt really disappointed, and then disappointed, you know, that we couldn't really figure out or see the body. And I just felt really sad that it might have been her husband and that, like, I wasn't there for her, maybe.
So it's a lovely dream, even though it seems so sad, but you know, there's a lot in here, a lot in here that we can get some good stuff for you. So your dream begins, it's based in the home, your hometown of Massachusetts. How long since you've been home?
So I've been in Texas for 3 years, and I visit home every 3 months or so.
So quite regularly. And what do you associate with Massachusetts? Just the fact it's home, or how different does it feel to living in Texas?
So, you know, my roots, family, friends, just kind of where I grew up. I haven't lived anywhere else but there and here.
So it kind of represents home and my home base and my roots, as you're saying there, going back to your roots. And the church, you mentioned the church. Did you go to church a lot, or do you go to church a lot, or is that totally a dream symbol?
Totally a dream symbol. I'm actually Jewish, and we would just go to synagogue on the high holidays. However, I will say in college I had there were a lot of people that passed away that I graduated with, and I remember having dreams about, like, caskets and being chased by dead people and just really, really traumatic dreams. And then this one kind of came out of nowhere. And then the fact that the boy who committed suicide that I knew a couple of years ago was standing in line like he was awake, like he was alive and waiting to see the casket.
It's really interesting there that you said that he was awake, I mean alive. And when you mentioned the your funeral, you said it was a funeral or awake. And I know we all know what awake means, but in dream terms, sometimes the words themselves are telling and meaningful. And there's a sense there of the wake not only meaning a funeral wake, but also meaning a waking up, a coming into consciousness. Particularly, I was sitting thinking that as I was listening to you speaking, and then particularly when you stumbled and said the guy that committed suicide was awake, I mean alive. And often when we're talking about a dream, we're actually quite in connection with our unconscious mind when we're talking about a dream, because we're talking the very language that our unconscious mind gave us in the dream. And so sometimes the unconscious mind can join in and give little interpretation clues while you're talking about a dream. And even just based on what you've said so far, Erica, you know, going back, you said in the past, because you lost a lot of college friends, you had a lot of traumatic dreams back then, naturally processing the awful trauma of their deaths and losing them and what to do about them. And this whole dream, even though it ends with you feeling very disappointed, there's another kind of feeling here. You don't get into the church, but rather than it being a traumatic dream, it is sad and it's disappointing, but rather than it being highly traumatic, it's got a sense of I'm in a lineup of people to the church, I'm going to be able to speak to someone who has committed suicide. There's almost a kind of, almost a coming to terms here with the death and traumas rather than being totally traumatic. And so for me, before we even get into the dream any further, there's that feeling of this is maybe you, Erica, becoming more awake or becoming more conscious around some of these subjects.
Yeah, could be.
So
Yeah, I mean, the people that passed away. So when I was in college, it was I like every month I would hear about somebody from my hometown I graduated high school with that passed. And I never was a friend. It was just people I knew. But for some reason, it was just happening so often, and it was really scary. I haven't personally really lost anybody close to me aside from my grandmother, but it was just ironic that that one individual was in the line.
That he was. And the people from your hometown when you were a student that were dying, were they often elderly natural deaths, or did they include suicides as well?
There was one suicide, couple car accidents, drugs.
So across the board, traumatic death. Yeah. And of course, at the moment, we've got we're all contemplating death a little bit more than we might otherwise with the pandemic as well. So you're Jewish, and but did so the church and the dream obviously wasn't a synagogue, it was a general randomized church. Yeah. So when you see a kind of general church like that, what feelings do you have about it? What does it represent for you?
Just holiness. I'm not 100% comfortable being in a church just because it's foreign for me. I've been in plenty of churches, but I almost feel like I'm going against my religion in a way.
Yes. Going against my religion. I'm just writing that down. I know that you are committed to being Jewish, but in a dream sense, again, we play with themes that are actually allegories or metaphors for other areas of our life. And so when you say there, being in a church makes me feel like I'm going against my religion in a way. And in the dream, you didn't get into the church, but you had the intention of lining up to go in. So there was a sense of maybe at some other level of your life, what does it go against your religion to do? And what's jumping out to me, and probably to you, and maybe to some of our listeners here, is your sister in the dream thinking about selling some of her skincare products. There's a sort of sense there of going against my religion, because you said to her, you can't do that at a wake. So there may be a sense here of you exploring, because the beginning of a dream will often set the theme or the issue that the rest of the dream is about. So there may be a sense here that there's something at the time of the dream that you were thinking of doing or wanting to do, or were exploring doing, or were being made to feel that you had to do, that kind of went against the grain, kind of went against the religion. And it may or may not have to do with selling and marketing, because you've got your sister in there as an example of someone who's selling under, I think the word that you used was inappropriate situation or circumstances. So then this may or may not be a theme here of where do I, Erica, feel a bit uncomfortable about what I'm selling or talking about, the same kind of level of discomfort that I might feel going into a church. So we then bring in most of the people were from your graduating class that were in the line. Did you get the feeling that was because, why do you think they were graduating students in your from your graduating class in your line?
Well, typically, in my hometown, so it's a very small town in Massachusetts, and usually when you pass a funeral home and there's a wake and the line's really, really long, it's typically either a young kid, or it's typically like a really well-known person. So I'm thinking the crowds of people as I was driving through the center of town, I'm like, gosh, it must be a young person. It must be somebody, that I know. Like, who died? Who died? Why is there such a lot of people that I know in that line?
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So, given that everybody in a dream, one courageous way to approach a dream is to look at everyone in the dream as an aspect of yourself, it could be that all those, the fact that the line of people were all from graduating class, from your graduating class. Would suggest that this might be taking you back to, well, I'll just put pause slightly there. The dream always processes what was happening for you in the day or two before the dream. And then whatever was happening to you, whatever you were feeling or experiencing consciously and unconsciously, may resonate with things that happened in the past. And that's when you can then see aspects of the past in a dream. So the fact that your dream kind of takes you back in a way to my graduating class suggests mm-hmm. that what was happening for you in the day or two before the dream resonated with what was happening for you back then. And in the dream, the idea is that that there's something about your graduating class or you, as you were back then, that seems to have died, that seems to have, come to an end. Mm-hmm. So if you... So if you think back...
I wrote a book recently. It's called Bye Bye Social Fears, Hello World. And I talk about the fact that... I was bullied in high school and college and my upbringing and like always trying to fit in and then really insecure. And then how I turned that around into being fully confident and like really loving myself. And I know like lately I've been thinking a lot about my book and the sales of my book have been kind of slowing down. So I'm wondering if that has anything to do with that.
That's a really good point. And so congratulations on your book. That's an
absolutely
awesome effort to write a book. That's fantastic. And now that you've mentioned the title, towards the end, I'll ask you to repeat that again. And I did write it down as you said it, Bye Bye Social Fears and Hello World. And I'll put a link to that in the blog that accompanies this. So if people listening, go to the blog that accompanies this and you'll get the link. So, yeah, that makes sense, Erica. So it's like what you're saying there is, we'll come to the sales bit of your book in a minute, but that first part, your book is about going back to when you were younger or a graduating student around that time and your presumably your social fears then. And so the fact mm-hmm. that you in your dream visit a funeral or a wake and it's peopled by people from when you were in graduating class suggests that it's you finally putting to rest some of the feelings or fears that you had as a graduating student back then.
Yeah, could be for sure.
Did you find that, you know, obviously you wrote the book because you woke, you became awake to it, you had the wake, and you wanted to share those feelings and help other people. Did you find actually publishing the book solidified that even more?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt like I overcame that fully, and I just felt like very free. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't ever want to be that person again. So yeah, I mean, I guess just a sense of like freedom.
So that you got from actually publishing the book as well as getting to that place in your life. So there's with that freedom would then come a sense of, what's the opposite to freedom?
Like stuck?
Yeah, stuck.
Or mm-hmm. held back?
Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of, with your new freedom, being able to let go of being stuck or held back. Now, when you go back to the funeral in your dream, it was such a long line. And part of the long line symbolism you did say was it's either someone young or it's someone famous and well known, which hopefully with your book coming out could also apply to you. But there was also the sense in that you were in the line and you couldn't quite get through into the church. So there was an aspect there of definitely not being stuck because you got out, you joined the line, you were moving along, but maybe things being a bit slower, and that may refer also to the sales of your book, as you just said as well. So a sense of you've found this new freedom, you're letting go of burying, having a funeral for resting in peace, senses of being slower, being stuck. But there's still a little bit of the element of stuck in the dream because the line is going a bit slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you called it a funeral and a wake is definitely, once again, waking up, letting go of one aspect of yourself totally through publishing the book and awakening into the new aspect of yourself, which you've already declared, but you're growing more and more into as you become more comfortable with telling people about the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
It does, doesn't it? And there was a point also when I... you mentioned that the security guards were like letting people into a concrete auditorium. Then later on, you sat on a concrete bench. There were two references to concrete.
Yes. So if you imagine like just like benches in a circular auditorium, all made out of concrete, like zero color in the room, very like basement vibes, just very cold. And like, it was like jam packed. Like they were like moving people in an assembly line, like sit there, move down, like trying to squeeze people in.
So that's really interesting. So there's a feeling of in the concrete, maybe making something concrete like you do when you publish a book. It's like, I have this stuff that I've been working through, and I'm a different person, and I'd like to explain my journey to you. You make that concrete by putting that in words in a book and selling it to people. So there's that one aspect of getting down. You did get as far as sitting on a concrete bench, like getting grounded, making this real, which I like. Mm-hmm. But did you also feel with the squeezing in of people that it was overcrowded? Did you feel uncomfortable?
Yes, I felt very overwhelmed, and I felt like just kind of claustrophobic.
And how does that relate to how you used to fear, you know, given the title of your book, Bye-Bye Social Fears?
I think not being able to get out of my own head when I was, you know, back the old me, just kind of being stuck and feeling like there's no way out kind of thing.
Mm. And the sense of overwhelm in the auditorium, was that like that, or was that like the opposite? Like, I'm no longer in a small space in my head. There's now all this stuff going on and it's overwhelm.
Yeah, I would say it's more so what you just said, just kind of overwhelm.
Mm. And it was in a basement. So it's the very sort of foundational level of something. A basement is it's on one hand a foundational level, and on the other hand, I guess we go down into the basement, just like in dreams, we go down into the unconscious mind. So this part of the dream could be going down into the unconscious mind, or also looking at what are my foundations here. They're very concrete, mm-hmm. which is good, but there's a sense of jam-packed overwhelm. So, you know, to me, listening to what you're saying, there's this feeling of in conquering my social fears, I have done this, I've written the book, I feel really good about it. And ironically, publishing the book is now pushing me even further out into this territory of social fears, because it's not only the social fears that I had in socializing with other people, I'm now actually putting myself out to the entire world in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why don't you do this big, Erica?
Yeah.
So, which is a brilliant thing to do. It's such a wonderful challenge. And your dream or your unconscious mind may be saying, oh, are we going a bit quick? Is this sort of feels a bit overwhelming. Can we, you're just sort of jam packing and squeezing in. Is there a slower way to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Which may or may not be, when you say your book sales have just slowed for a while and you're working out what to do next, it may or may not be that this is a good thing, giving you time to regroup and plan the next step, or it may or may not be a little bit of self-sabotage, that there may be things that you can be doing to promote your book more or sell it faster, but you may be holding back unconsciously because you don't want to reach that point of overwhelm and life being jam-packed and feeling squeezed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly.
Possibly
that seems more subconscious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it absolutely will be unconscious. And, you know, the trick is in looking for more symbols for it in the dream, then seeing how it feels. So, for example, the people guiding people into the concrete auditorium were security guards. So, you know, if everyone in a dream represents something about yourself, the security guards would represent a part of yourself that's trying to be on guard, check your security, keep you safe. Maybe keep you from overwhelm, maybe not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how you kind of link it with what's going on in your real life.
Mm-hmm. So if we explore that a bit, and you know, one of the there are a couple of really emotional aspects of the dream, one being the fact that the guy who'd committed suicide was awake and alive in the queue, and the other one being the good friend whose husband or baby had died. So Let's look at those and see if they throw some more light. So the guy that committed suicide, what three words would you use to describe his personality or his approach to life?
It's been a while since I ran into him like 5 years post high school. but I didn't know him too well. But I would say, I don't know what's going through his mind because obviously he was very depressed, but how I would view him would be carefree, like funny. And he was kind of the kid that kind of liked to party and, have fun and just kind of the life of the party.
You know, when you describe that, it sounds, and forget about him for a moment, that sounds like you in your hello world. Bye-bye total fears, bye-bye social fears, hello world. Mm-hmm. Someone who's not got social fears is more carefree, more funny. You may or may not go to actual parties, but you, if you were required to go to a party, you'd probably be okay with that. Life of the party, again, you don't need to go to parties, but if you did, there'd be no fears holding you back. You'd be life. It sounds a bit like the elements that you have transformed into, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I never thought of it like that.
Well, one of the, it's so easy in a dream to look at other people as themselves and to find other associations to them, which we'll also do in a minute. But if you really stop and do this hard questioning of what three words are used to describe this person's personality or approach to life, it often becomes clearer to see people in the dreams as aspects of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But they they can also, and the fact that he's alive in the dream, and you used the word awake inadvertently when you talked about him, is sort of saying, yeah, this part of Erica, she's alive and well. even though she's a little bit frightened to go into this church, she's a little bit worried about going against her religion, which may or may not have to be with selling your book or whatever. And yet there's also the sense in the lineup of putting something to rest, which is what a funeral really is.
And you know, it's interesting that you say that because kind of the fear aspect. So in the book, I'm very vulnerable, and a lot of people, even like my own father, didn't know that I was bullied. So I was a little bit hesitant in the beginning because I'm like, oh gosh, I'm exposing this to the whole world. Like, people don't even know this or know how bad it was. Mm-hmm. So I think that might have to link with that in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense, Erica. Well done there. Because, I want to say two things at once. I'm going to say the first and hope I can remember the second. you're absolutely right. You've done the transformation work, you've written the book, but then it's that sense of how are people going to feel finding out this stuff about me from the past, particularly when this book is all about moving forward now. How are people going to feel? And the second part is that I noted from my notes when you were talking about your dream, I wrote security guards, concrete auditorium, dad's company. Mm-hmm. Dad complaining, if I read my own writing.
Yeah.
So
something to do.
So if we go back to that sense of the security guard within you, the one that's trying to look after you and stay safe, and yet get concrete about this, not get overwhelmed in this concrete auditorium, take it at the right pace for you, step by step, not into overwhelm, get concrete, get real, make it real, remain feeling safe and secure, and then dad comes into the dream complaining straight away. And you've just mentioned one of the key people that you were worried about finding out about how much you were bullied was your dad.
Well, he just had no idea.
How did he respond when he read the book?
I don't think he read it, but he saw my page on it. I'm on Amazon, and he was just like, I didn't know that. And I was like, yeah, it was pretty short. But I was very overweight and like had really bad acne. And, you know, I'm one of five. So, you know, you're just as a parent, you know, single working parent, you're just so busy So it's easy to kind of lose sight of those things, especially if I'm not communicating those real time. So it was quite a shock to him. And even my best friend from high school, who I still talk to, she didn't realize like how bad it was from my perspective. I mean, she kind of put two and two together. You know, she would say, I remember we were at the drive-thru and you were crying because you didn't want me to stop and talk to the boys because you didn't have your makeup, and you were crying and begging me to go home because you didn't want to show your face. And she was like, it all makes sense now. So I think it kind of opened up a lot of eyes to my perspective.
Yes.
That people might have not known.
Yeah. And how did you feel about that when it happened, when you saw their eyes being opened?
I was just like, wow, yeah, that's it. Like, I'm happy you know now.
Great. Fantastic. So there may be some of that in the dream too, and particularly, funnily enough, when you mentioned, Erica, the situation of driving to drive-in movies you mentioned? You said a line-up with your friend in the past, and you said, stop, let's get out, something like that. Mm-hmm. And in the dream, it's the same. You were driving past the line to the funeral, and you said, stop, I've got to get out here. Oh, in real life, you didn't want to get out because you didn't want people to see your face. So there's a difference here. You will get out and you will get in line and you will show your face, which is really good. So I think the bit about dad there complaining, again, it's not about dad, it's all about you. So it's like the voice of dad that is in your head is complaining unconsciously, going, oh, I'm not so sure about this book coming out, about the feeling bullied. There's maybe something about that going on there. And then we come to sorry, I'm just pausing there looking at my notes thinking, because that's when your sister came in and she was trying to push her skincare products just straight after talking about your dad complaining. So there may be that sense there that unconsciously, or perhaps even a little consciously from what you're saying now, there's that sense of, I've got my book, let's think about that as your skincare product. I've got my book. And I'm pushing it because that's exactly the right thing to do with a book. You've got to super push it. But there's a little bit of me feeling that that's the wrong way, because I've just, after hearing dad complaining, and maybe that's relating to my feelings about what are people going to feel when they read about the bullying. Now, you've just described that you're really pleased that it's out there, and so you should be, and people know what happened, and so they should, and that's all good. But, you know, you've lived with an unconscious voice for all those earlier years which said, don't let people know about the bullying, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So the moment you do let it out, your unconscious mind's going, oh no, you're not supposed to do that. We've got to protect you. This is your unconscious mind speaking, your security guard. We have guarded you all these years and told you not to tell anyone about bullying, and now you're letting it out. What are you doing? This is inappropriate.
Yeah.
And our unconscious mind can be the repository of amazing, positive, wonderful stuff that we haven't realized about ourselves. And it can also be the repository of all these security guards that have tried to keep us safe through childhood and adulthood, and are no longer, to use your word from the dream, no longer appropriate, the inappropriate. We've got to let them go. But waking up to this in a dream is good, because the moment that you realize that no matter where you're at consciously, there has been an unconscious voice saying, no, don't do this. The moment you know that, or in your dream language, you wake to it, then that's when you can do the dream alchemy and really let that go.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, a little bit of the hesitation was, you know, there are people who are bullied much worse than I was, but I kind of like, I didn't want to diminish the fact that I was bullied, because I certainly was, but, you know, I wasn't, you know, being threatened to be killed, or I didn't, you know, ever feel like I needed to commit suicide or anything like that. Like, it wasn't to the point where I was beat up in the parking lot, like nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's some kind of spectrum. So I think a part of me was like, I don't want to play the victim, but at the same time, like, it's important to share my story.
Yes, absolutely. And it sounds, because you have been able to express that so well, I'm sure that you've expressed that in the book as well. And you're quite right, you know, no matter where anybody is on the spectrum of anything that they're experiencing emotionally, it's not to diminish, we should not diminish any feeling that we have that needs to be addressed. So
yes,
yes. So when we then come to the bit about the friend whose either husband or baby had died, she was a good friend from back in Massachusetts. Let's do the same for her. What would be your three words for her, Erica?
So she's still one of my very good friends to this day. She's very, very caring. She's a social worker and she's fantastic. She's fun. She's also carefree and just a very wonderful person. I just remember in the dream, she came up to me crying and I gave her a big hug and I said, I'm so, so sorry. Like, let me know if you need anything. But that's why I was assuming it was her husband.
Mm. So in the dream, assuming it was her husband in the dream, what role would her husband have supplied for her that was then missing after he died?
They have a great partnership, a great marriage. So I think just the companionship and having, you know, just the general fear of losing a husband or a spouse.
Mm. Mm. Or a baby.
Kind of lost, like other half.
Lost, yeah, your other half. So I'm just writing that down, lost your other half. The intensity with which I tried to describe and you got of your unconscious voice going, no, no, don't do this, we're the security guard, you can't say this thing, we've protected you all these years, is maybe like, and not you're part of one of your many other halves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was half of my life, so yes.
Yes. So there's that feeling and of you know, you are now going forward in life without that particular half of your life. You're having to say goodbye to that. You're having to be sorry for your loss for that, because that unconscious voice was only trying to do you good and protect you at the time. So there's a sense of having to say goodbye to that loss. And I think that the reason that the casket then looked more and more baby-sized as it went on, I don't know, I had the feeling when you said the casket was baby-sized, I was going to say to you, well, I'll ask you anyway, without thinking about this, if it was a baby casket, how old was the baby?
Like baby, yeah. Like one.
Like 1 year old, yeah. So what started for you a year ago, and or was it anything to do with the book?
A year ago?
Yeah.
Well, actually, the past three, since I moved to Austin, Texas, I've kind of rediscovered myself. So I think just going on the journey of self-love and discovery and independence and really, truly learning to love myself to the core, that I did a lot of self-work, and I think last year in particularly, I really kind of, the beginning it was more like, okay, let's explore, let's do all these things, let's be a yes man, and then I would say the last year or so is really when I kind of honed in on what I wanted and what my values and what was important to me.
Excellent. That's really brilliant. So the baby may or may not represent all of those qualities that you said there, and really homing in on you, really getting it embodied, wasn't it, from what you've described there? It began as a kind of mental exploration, but you really got into in touch with it all, the feel and the everything. So the fact that there was a baby-sized casket in the dream, you know, if we hadn't worked with the dream as we have until this point, I'd have been saying to you, well, What did you begin a year ago that you are putting to rest now, that you've lost, that you're sad about, that you're sorry about? But in the way that you've described it there, it seems to me more a sense of, because this dream is more about an awakening than a funeral, it's an awakening.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic.
Yeah, it is ironic. I love it. So it's kind of got that feeling of what you're actually looking at there is something that's a year old, which I wrote down, as you said, with self-love, love myself to the core, and becoming more awake to that. And maybe to some extent, at the time of the dream, there may or may not have been a sense of, were being under pressure with your book and things, was there a sense of maybe losing touch with that a little bit? Was it wavering? Was your loving yourself to the core wavering a little bit? Was it dying off a little bit or not?
Well, I certainly think it was a journey. It wasn't anything that was kind of done overnight. I mean, I still have days of weakness. So I think it's just kind of like a work in progress. So it's just, I'm very vulnerable. I'm very real. I'm not going to act like every day is perfect. I mean, I think that it's a practice. So I would say that it's kind of like an ongoing thing.
Yeah, which is lovely, because that is human, and that's the kind of thing that will make people want to read your book, because they can relate to that. So yes, there may have been a sense at the time of the dream that you were maybe not entirely loving yourself to the core at that time, like the baby's in a casket, or it may have been, as I suspect, the other way, that this is a dream about awake, and it's about letting go of what you need to let go and allowing to have in your life what you need to have in your life. And I don't know, is there also a sense there that if it was a baby and it was in a casket and it was a year old, but what part of the journey that you've beautifully described there sort of might be finishing now in readiness for the next stage of the journey?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I'm sorry.
So if you spent a year and you've really got in touch with self-love and loving yourself to the core, and that's come up to now, and that's been a year, what's the next step from there?
Continuing to harness that on a deeper level, embedding into my life and others, my future children, hopefully. And really just living and breathing it every single day and leading to pure happiness.
That's lovely. So there may be a sense, as you say, in taking it deeper too, in moving it beyond baby size, letting go of the baby, sorry for your loss, letting go of the baby and really solidifying this now, taking it deeper.
Yeah, almost like I don't want it to stop.
Yes, yeah. And yet at the end of the dream, you're disappointed because there's your sister still trying to sell her skin products.
Yes.
And you were sad because you couldn't see the body. So you weren't sure what it was. Something, you were letting go of something, but you weren't sure what it was. So having discussed it this far, again, I'm going to ask you not to use your brain at all, but to say at this point, because this dream was only a week ago, what felt to you that I'm so pleased that I've got the book and all these wonderful things are happening in my life, but there's a residual sadness here. There's just a little bit of sadness about and a loss that I'm sorry for. What would it be?
I'm not quite sure, but I will tell you that I've been pretty stressed out with work. So thinking about the last couple weeks, I don't know if it's really like a loss that I face, but I'm feeling very like disengaged with my day job.
Yes.
And stressed out, like very, very stressed out.
Yes. And is there a part of you that would like to give up your day job, or are you committed to it in the long run?
I would love to give up my day job, but
you can't do it.
I kind of feel like I'm chained to it in a way, because it pays the bills, you know?
So that's the sadness at the moment. That's maybe one aspect of what you're feeling sad about. The loss of your engagement with your job, because it would be much nicer to be able to have that engagement going forward, because you've got to keep your job.
Yes, exactly. I got to suck it up.
Yeah, but is the disengagement due to a specific thing, or is it due to the energy you've been putting into your book?
I think it's just not wanting to be in corporate America. I feel like I'm just too creative and kinesthetic to be chained to a desk and live up to all the office politics, kind of having somebody, you know, overbearing me and managing me. I kind of crave that freedom and you know, that creativity that job doesn't have.
Yes, that makes sense of that. You know, when you describe that friend as caring social worker, fun, carefree, wonderful, that there's that part of that's exactly, again, describes you in your after your transformations, and that kind of person would also have lost engagement with any kind of corporate America job in the way that you've described it as well. So that's the sadness there. I think that is your dream saying, I feel sad that I'm disengaged from my job for all these, what sounds to me and probably all our listeners, extremely valid reasons.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that I have come into contact and really been able to live my creative side and also have a creative business. And I'm sad that I can't fully engage in that because I have this job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would love to be a full-time author and be able to promote my book full-time and be able to live off of that for sure. And I just feel really overwhelmed with my work and it's just been really stressful. So I think that that is definitely valid.
Yeah, and you also, you said overwhelmed with work, and there was also this feeling of overwhelm in the concrete auditorium there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. Part of the, you know, your practical question that you mentioned earlier about my book has slowed down in sales, and I wonder whether the dream is about that. So, you know, dreams are about ourselves on so many levels, and I think it's definitely about the book as well. So part of the slowdown in your sales might be because you are trying to avoid overwhelm. It might be because you are fearful of what will happen if it does sell a lot. it might be just because you're trying to slow down for your own mental and emotional health and well-being. It could be any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if also, you know, if we take this whole dream in the light of an awakening, waking up more to the unconscious voices within you, and particularly waking up to that kind of disappointment of maybe it's inappropriate to push my product because your sister represents something about you as well. You know, maybe mm-hmm. it's inappropriate. Looking at places, it is never inappropriate to push your book. I'm here to mm-hmm. tell you that.
Thank you.
but of course...
I would never do it at a wake, let's be clear.
No, I know you wouldn't do it at a wake. But there would be other situations in your life where you're questioning yourself and is this the place to do it? It's not. So I would suggest that you step out further and mm-hmm. find other ways of promoting your book that are totally appropriate or maybe mm-hmm. that are inappropriate, not in a wake funeral kind of sense, but in a totally out there in different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I mentioned the obvious ones that are not different, which are running workshops, doing retreats at which you sell your, at which your book is in the ticket price. So it's not like you're not running a retreat or a workshop and then at the end, would anyone like to buy my book? And they're all going, no, I've got so much from your workshop. Thanks. That's great. I'll go now. So you decide, I don't need to tell you this. I'm sure you know this. You set your ticket price and then you add in the price of your book.
Yeah, so, that's a yeah. good idea.
So what you get there is you can run that workshop or that retreat in all sorts of places, especially once we can all travel much further. And mm-hmm. you can run them online, of course. You can do socially distanced ones online as well. And part mm-hmm. of that is people get the book. So you're distributing the book, people are reading the book, and ultimately what sells a book is word of mouth. So the more hands you get your book into, the more people are talking about. So that's just one example at the top of my head. And there will be tons out there. And as a creative person yourself, you will, without overwhelming yourself, be able to come up with a list of, it's not just selling the book, it's creating scenarios in which I can sell the book or in which I get the book into people's hands and mm-hmm. they start reading it. But you know, according to your dream too, taking it at a level which is not overwhelming for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And bearing in mind that we've got to get those security guards to let go now, to tell them that they've done a very good job. Thank you very much for all these years, but they are no longer required. And I think that's where we need to put the dream alchemy, don't you?
Yes, I like it.
So let me think what we can do here. Okay, because you're a writer, I'm going to give you a writing dream alchemy exercise. And don't panic, because I'm not asking the polished, edited, let's take a million years to get this paragraph right, writer in Erica. I'm asking a kind of stream of consciousness. This is a piece of writing you're going to do in 10 or 15 minutes, writer. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you take a piece of paper and, let me think about this. Oh, I know, you just write a thank you letter. So, dear security guards, and when you write it, you picture the actual security guards in your dream, particularly if you can summon up the feeling of what they were wearing and how they were pushing you around and everything. Dear security guards, and the opening line is something like, thank you for looking after me for all these years. And then you just go from there. So I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you basically want to tell them that you don't want them to shepherd you. And you use some symbols from the dream. I don't need you to push me into the concrete auditorium. I don't need you to, and then go into the things we've been discussing. You know, you've done a fantastic job. Thank you for looking after me. You can all go now. Take a bonus. Here's a bonus. Go and spend time with your families. I don't need you anymore. I've got my book to look after me. That may be the bottom line, but it may be when you write the letter, you come up with something else to look after you. I'm just suggesting that if you put your book in there, then you might find lots of good ideas come up about how to present your book. One of which you've just already beautifully done today by bringing it into your dream and mentioning it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I do think that there's definitely some correlation there. And it's funny because literally 4 days after, I had a dream about having like a house party to promote my book and not having enough copies. And then there was this lady that lived in like a mansion, and I gave her, I told her about my book, or she interviewed me or something. And then she came knocking at my door asking, I hope I'm getting a free copy. And I said, okay, sure. I'm sure you could afford a $12 book. I didn't say that, but so I gave her a copy, and all the bindings started falling apart and all the pages were falling out. And I was freaking out because I'm like, oh my gosh, like this looks so sloppy. They're not going to be able to get the whole book. The whole binding is tearing. And then I woke up. So that was literally 4 days later, the dream that I had.
It sounds to me, at a quick grab there, that you don't give away yourself for free, whether that's your book or something else, because you just fall apart. But the other thing that I loved there, which was the idea of the mansion, like take your book to big spaces, whether that's big online spaces or you're a wonderful podcast guest. Get out there, get on podcasts, those kind of mansions, but don't give away the book. I have experimented not with books but with other things over so many years of business and talk to other people, and I know that when you give away things, some people appreciate them, but most people don't. Most people appreciate things when they pay for them, and if they pay the proper amount, then they are really paying attention and really getting the value from what you're offering. They're getting the transformation value. So if people buy your book for full price, they've spent money on it. As you say, it's $12. It's not a huge amount, but they've spent money on it. So they're going to read it and they're going to see, where's the value for this in me? Which if you give it for someone free, oh, that's great. That's a beautiful cover. I'll just put it over there.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, thank you for being a fantastic guest on The Dream Show. I hope this has helped.
Yes, thank you so much. I mean, I definitely feel like I have a clearer perspective now and kind of had to piece together my vivid dreams here.
That's good. It'll be lovely to see how your future dreams reflect, and definitely do that dream alchemy practice as soon as you can after finishing this call, because it's only going to take you 10 or 15 minutes and that will really begin the magic of sending those security guards on their way.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I'm sure you gained a lot of insights into Erica's life and into her dream, and hopefully some extra tips as well there. I always find it really interesting when a dream, you know, sounds so dark and sad and difficult and, you know, overwhelming, disappointing. Those were some of the emotions that Erica mentioned going through that dream. And yet when you look through it, what the person's dream is often doing is bringing up to the surface unconscious things that have been in your way or in Erica's, also in Erica's case, you know, awakening to those and resting things in peace, seeing the full lay of the land. And with the dream alchemy, being able to let go of those security guards. And then on top of that dark, difficult dream, then being able to find practical, forward-moving insight into life and what to do next. So I think that was a really lovely example of that. Now, as you know, Erica did give out her book title during our discussion, and I double checked with her afterwards when we finished recording, and she's very happy for me to give her full name and her book and to put the link on the blog. So her book is called Bye Bye Social Fears, Hello World, and her full name is Erica Mann, and the book is available on Amazon. But if you go and to janetheresa.com and read the accompanying blog to this podcast, I will put the link there. You can also, of course, listen to the podcast on all the usual platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, basically wherever you listen to your podcasts. And in most of those, this book link will also be in the accompanying screed as well. So thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. I know I'll be connecting with some of you between now and then who do regular work with me. And for the rest of you, I hope we're still in pandemic times. I hope you're embracing increasing freedoms and coming out into the world in new and wonderful ways. And our next episode of The Dream Show, episode 236, is due out on the 5th of November 2020, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.